This is Logan Sekulow with breaking news. The U.S. holds diplomatic meeting with the Taliban and a special sneak preview of our new documentary series, The Revenge of the Taliban.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow.
For the Taliban, they very much want to be seen to be negotiating with representatives of the most powerful country in the world. And incidentally, the American round of the talks has just finished and they've moved on to talking to the Europeans. So that too will burnish their image or at least make them look as if they're a legitimate government.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
What they really want from America is about $7 billion worth of frozen assets. It's held in U.S. bonds and in gold in the U.S. So when the Taliban took over and showed up at the central bank thinking, great, let's get our hands on the money to run the country, it wasn't there.
And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Welcome to Sekulow. This is Logan Sekulow, joined in studio by executive producer of Sekulow, Will Haynes. We are going to be taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 on the issues at hand. Of course, we're leading with that the U.S. delegation met with the Taliban over the weekend, maybe their first what you'd call diplomatic meetings with the Taliban. And all of that, obviously, as chaos is still, new stories are coming out from Afghanistan. We're seeing new things coming from that. And we have a brand new documentary series that I've been working on with our team for the last month and a half or so, in real time, documenting how people feel, the thoughts, the emotions from some of the top leaders in Washington and around the world. And it's a new series called Revenge of the Taliban that's going to be available very soon. If you want to be the first person to know, be amongst the first people to know when and how to get this groundbreaking series, really something that I feel very passionate about. It was originally going to be a 90-minute film. It probably will be later on, still down the line. But these interviews, these 20, 30, 40-minute long interviews, were so intense and were filled with so much good content. We thought we're going to release these as full as we can, and you'll be able to get as much of this content to you and be able to share it with your friends. So it's something that is going to be coming out very soon. We don't have the release details exactly yet, but it really helps us out because it helps not only gauge how we're going to release it, what we're going to do, but it gives you first an exclusive access. So what you need to do is go to aclj.org/Taliban, T-A-L-I-B-A-N, Taliban, fill out the basic form, and you will be amongst the first to know anything that goes on with our new series, Revenge of the Taliban, that I host. And we have some excellent, excellent guests who are on. Obviously, you'll hear from people who you see on this show all the time, like my dad, Jay Sekulow, and Jordan Sekulow. You'll hear from Mike Pompeo. You'll hear from Rick Grenell. You'll also hear from former Attorney General John Ashcroft, from Nikki Haley, from Senator Lankford, from Tulsi Gabbard. We had on that. It was one of the last interviews we conducted with Wes Smith as well, and many others. And we're going to be playing clips from that coming up here in the next few segments. So if you want to see what that's going to look like, there really were amazing interviews. I think you're going to enjoy them and take in a lot of information. Many of them heartbreaking. Many of them will make you cry. Many of them will get you amped up and upset. I'm not going to lie. There are many times we left these interviews feeling pretty down. But we're going to play a lot of these clips because, good, you need to know the real information. And look, we have people, again, from both sides of the aisle, whether that is a Tulsi Gabbard or whether that is a Mike Pompeo. So, and then we have people who historically can look back 20 years, like a John Ashcroft. So a really interesting piece that we are putting together right now as we speak. And you're going to see some clips from that in the next few segments. Phone lines, again, are open at 1-800-684-3110. And we're going to discuss, again, Will, that there was this U.S. delegation that met with the Taliban. We'll get into why they were doing that coming up in the next segment.
That's right. They did meet in Doha, Qatar over the weekend, though, and there were some very specific agenda items on their agenda that they wanted to talk about. We've got a readout from the State Department on that and some other information that we can give our analysis on when we come back from the break.
Yeah, we get back again. We're going to start playing some of those clips, also give you some analysis on that. But right now, when we're in break, if you want to know, be the first to know how to get this brand new series, Revenge of the Taliban, I need you to go to aclj.org/Taliban. When you do that, you'll see a simple put in your name, email address, click go, click submit, and we'll notify you as soon as those details are there, as soon as we have them. So again, aclj.org/Taliban to be the first to know when our exclusive new series premieres. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
To Seculo, taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Again, Will, we're going to discuss not only some clips and play some new clips from our brand new series, Revenge of the Taliban, but we also are going to discuss what happened over the weekend, which a lot of you probably didn't see because it's not necessarily making your mainstream news headlines. And this is that a U.S. delegation met with the Taliban in their first high-level talks since our pullout of Afghanistan. This was to try to, again, have one of those meetings with a diplomatic meeting. It's like, you're going to hold up your end, right? You're going to be good. You're going to make sure Al-Qaeda stays out. You're going to, you know, stick to what we agreed upon. But it does unsettle the nerves.
Well, and one thing that kind of unsettled our nerves, as you said, back during the chaos in Kabul, was the way they kept referring to the Taliban as businesslike and used these descriptors that were positive towards the Taliban, a terrorist group. But in Ned Price's readout of the meetings that took place Saturday and Sunday, and this is a spokesperson for the U.S. State Department, he said the discussions were candid and professional, with the U.S. delegation reiterating that the Taliban will be judged on its actions, not only its words. Well, one, it's cringeworthy to hear them again say candid and professional when talking about their talks with the Taliban, but also they'll be judged by their actions, not only their words. We're already seeing a return to the dark ages of Afghanistan, where women are oppressed, minorities are oppressed, religious minorities are oppressed and being killed for their faith or their gender or their race. This is something that is already reverted back to by the Taliban in just the last month. And yet they're saying they'll be judged on their actions, not only their words. Yep. Well, I think that we can start making judgments now about how Taliban 2.0 is going to unfold.
Yeah, and they're saying, you know, this meeting isn't about granting recognition or confirming legitimacy, but we all know that legitimacy has already been confirmed. I think that, yes, maybe on the global stage and all technical senses have all the I's and T's been crossed, or I's been dotted, T's been crossed. No, but do I think that we have decidedly said that in essentially the way that we've created the tone. One of the questions, you know, we were producing this series, a lot of times I ask very similar questions because, again, we originally started making it. It was going to be a 80-minute, 90-minute feature-length documentary. So you'll see that I ask similar questions because you want to be able to edit back and forth. Well, one of the questions I often ask, which is, how can you, as a U.S. representative, as a former attorney general, or as, you know, whoever it was, hear the name the Taliban and hear it treated with respect? It's something that is very disheartening. It's very upsetting to a lot of people who grew up with it. Again, most of my adult life was spent with the Taliban as a terrorist regime. Now, in the last 90 days, 60 days, it's become a legitimate government, according to our administration and officials. So it's a pretty rough time. Now, with that, we've produced this new series, and I'm very proud of this series. I think our team did a wonderful job, whether it was Will arranging a lot of the interviews or our production doings. We did a lot of all these virtually. You know, we did these via Skype, but it's shot really cool. We'll have some clips here soon. Do we have clips ready?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I think we could jump into is maybe that specifically, which is how the Taliban has gained some respect. So you'll see me ask a question, and you'll see it from a guest. So maybe we'll start with Representative Waltz.
That's right, Congressman Waltz from Congressman Florida. Waltz. And we have the clip ready. We'll go ahead and play it. But he,
you know,
this is someone who was a he's the first Green Beret elected to Congress. And so it's a he has both the experience as a veteran of Afghanistan and now a member of Congress.
Yeah. And he was involved in like the Bo Bergdahl hunt begrudgedly. He represents an area of Florida that's like the Daytona area of Florida. He is an intelligent guy. You've probably seen him on Fox. I will say this, looking at this list of people. If you want to know who's going to be the next generation of the Conservative Party, it's pretty much this entire lineup of people, especially the people who are younger. Obviously, some like your Ashcrofts, those guys are legacy pieces at this point. But there are so many that have really shown themselves in this series. So if you want to see who's going to be probably your who's who in the next election cycle or next five election cycles, I think a lot of them are going to be people that I interviewed. I really do. These people are intelligent, smart, are understanding, they are nuanced. You know, no one had, what I thought was interesting, no one had the same answers. So you're going to hear some of the same questions, but completely different versions of the spectrum. So let's start, though, with Waltz. Take a look. Is it not crazy to you, and it is to me, as someone who, you know, I was 15 when 9/11 happened, 35 now, living pretty much my whole life with the Taliban as a term of a terrorist organization. And now we're hearing that this is the diplomatic Taliban. We're hearing, you know, we're having a relationship with them. It's rolling off people's, you know, mouths off their tongues like any other government. And it's really shocking. As someone who was there and who experienced it and was in Afghanistan, I can't imagine that you hear that and can just take that lightly, because most of us hear it and it's shocking every time someone says it with authority.
Listen, the Taliban haven't changed. The only thing that's changed is they have tuned up their propaganda program, and they're dealing, and they're dealing with the same administration that they got their five top draft picks out of Guantanamo for Bergdahl, right? But let me tell you something. I've seen principals of schools, of girls' schools, run out of town and their families murdered when they tried to make a stand. I've seen a girls' school machine gunned with the girls still in the school. One of my interpreters was stopped at a Taliban checkpoint and had documentation on him. They took him home and beheaded him along with members of his family to send a message. We had in my last tour, a 7-year-old boy was hung. Because he had dollar bills on him, they hung him and shoved him in his mouth. And I know this is all harsh and graphic, but these are brutal, brutal Islamic extremist thugs. And we've now not only handed them the powers of a state with a central bank and currency and a functioning airport to send terrorists anywhere around the world, but we also, this is the part that just pissed me off the most, is allowed billions of dollars of American equipment, our own equipment, to fall into their hands that future American soldiers are going to have to fight with when we have to go back to deal with this problem. It's unconscionable, and it's unforgivable.
Yeah, again, so that is just a small clip. That was obviously Congressman Mike Waltz from Florida, who, again, as Will said, the first Green Beret to serve in Congress. Now that interview, that's just 2 minutes of what was probably roughly half hour discussion about the details. So he obviously served in Afghanistan, was there. We had a lot of people who served in Afghanistan, family served in Afghanistan, or were part of the war on terror in general, whether it was in Iraq or in other parts of the world. Again, that's just 2 minutes of what is probably a 4 or 5 hour special, obviously separated episodically. And then that will be edited down later on. And if you want to be one of the first people to get and receive and figure out how to get Revenge of the Taliban, our new series, it's very simple. We set this up today. So those who are watching, the dedicated few who are so intensely paying attention to what's going on in the world, I want to say few dedicated audience who are really care about what's happening, even when the news media shifts, we encourage you to go to aclj.org/Taliban. That'll take you to the Revenge of the Taliban splash page. There's a simple form, first name, last name, email address, zip code, and you will be the first to know when this series is coming and when it will be released and how to get it.
And I think that clip that we played from Congressman Waltz was really important to play today and to kind of lead this discussion, because as we're hearing that the U.S. delegation is meeting with the Taliban in Doha, or met with them over Saturday and Sunday of this weekend, and to hear the things that they're talking about, like Reuters points out that it's a top priority to hold the Taliban to its commitment that it will not allow Afghanistan to again become a hotbed for Al-Qaeda or other extremists. Well, other extremists could be the Taliban. It is already now a right. hotbed for terrorism because the Taliban controls the territory in the country. Yeah. So no matter what, they can't live up to that commitment.
It's already a hotbed of terror because itself
what it is
now. A terrorist regime. But we also talk about the future of Al-Qaeda, future of terrorism worldwide. That's something we got into with Tulsi Gabbard, who we had been in communication with for about a month, knowing that we were going to be able to get this interview with her. And someone from the other side, not traditionally a straight-up conservative person, obviously someone who a lot of conservatives do respect. She was a military personnel. What a lot of us didn't know is during this time, she was active and in Africa on a mission against Al-Qaeda. So we discuss that. We'll play a clip from that when we get back, because that's a pretty aggressive thing to think about, that there's all these missions already happening. It's not just about Afghanistan. Afghanistan is a small piece to the global puzzle that still is this war on terror, whether you want to label it or not, whether they're going to engrave 2021 into the Iwo Jima statue with all the wars, and it doesn't matter, because this is an ongoing battle and ongoing discussion. And again, we can't wait for you to see this new special, Revenge of the Taliban, multi-part episodic interview series. It's going to be available to our audience first. What you can do is go to aclj.org/Taliban, fill out that simple form, and you'll be the first person to know. And it's coming very soon. We're not talking about months down the road. We're talking about a couple weeks. You're going to be able to see this series in its entirety. It's really an amazing piece. And I look forward to hearing all of your responses. Because look, like I said, people go in different directions. Some people thought we should stay. Some people thought we should go. Some people thought the war should have ended 10 years ago. But you know what's interesting about this is everyone has an opinion. And these are all senior level people with incredible knowledge that I can't wait for you to see. Again, that's at aclj.org/Taliban. If you have a phone call, want to give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secula. We're discussing the fact that the U.S. just, every time we think the Afghanistan topic is wrapped up, we wrapped up this documentary series production-wise a couple days ago. And every time we think there's not a news item, there is. And that is that the U.S. delegation met with the Taliban for the first time to discuss keeping Al-Qaeda at bay, you know, making sure that you're not going to be running, you know, keep making sure you keep your checks and balances going in when it comes to making sure you're not running terrorist regime, Taliban. It's a ridiculous thing to say. We all know that. But of course, we have to keep up these, you know, this level of airs and talks. It's ridiculous. But we want to talk about Al-Qaeda. We've heard a lot about it. Well, it's something that's it's a discussion point for a lot of people, whether Al-Qaeda is growing, whether it's rising, whether it's something that is happening in Afghanistan. But we also need to look beyond Afghanistan. And I think that's something, one of the last interview we did was with Tulsi Gabbard, who, again, as I said, you knew her maybe from the presidential debates of 2020. You maybe knew her as many different things, but she is a soldier currently active, serving. And the last month or so, plus, she has been in the Horn of Africa on a mission against Al-Qaeda. So we need to remember that that's all happening. And we have a great clip from her, and I think we should go to that.
Yeah, we're going to roll this now. This is with former Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii.
But for you, we found out just a few weeks ago you were actually in Africa serving a mission essentially against Al-Qaeda. And we've heard about Al-Qaeda and Al-Qaeda through this last month as for Afghanistan, we don't have to worry about them anymore. That's one of the reasons we left. No problem. They haven't gone away. Maybe they're currently maybe not occupying Afghanistan. We don't know exactly the situation. But what should we know about those terror threats that are worldwide as someone who was on the ground dealing with this, you know, days ago?
What we need to know is the truth, which is that this Islamist jihadist threat that is posed to us, the American people, our country, coming from terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS, they're very much alive and well and thriving. This is something we need to keep an eye on in Afghanistan and be prepared to go in very quickly and immediately to try to eliminate these groups should they start to grow, should they start to get a stronghold there. But we also need to understand the truth and the reality that this is not just an issue related to Afghanistan. I think that's important to point out because you hear a lot of talking heads on TV talking solely about Afghanistan as it relates to this terrorist jihadist threat. But in reality, we've got to look at how and where this threat is posed to us around the world. As you said, I just got back from an active duty tour and a deployment to the Horn of Africa. And we see how these Islamist terrorist groups and their affiliated groups, Al-Shabaab in Somalia, we see other groups in West Africa, in countries like Mali, Niger, and Chad, and others, who are very strong, who are growing, and who are very active, and whose goal is to establish an Islamic caliphate, Islamic governance, fueled by this Islamist ideology. Islamist ideology as distinct and different, not the same as the religion of Islam, but it's this political Islamist ideology that's fueling these jihadist groups that really does pose a great threat. And also is the thing, and I want to point out, is the thing that really has never been challenged. When I say in order to defeat this jihadist threat, we have to defeat them militarily and ideologically. And there really has never been an effort on the ideological front to defeat this threat.
So that, again, was Tulsi Gabbard, someone who we had the pleasure to speak to for an extended period about not only her time, Will, in Africa recently, but even her last, her time serving in the war on terror, what inspired her to be there. Obviously, a lot of it all goes back to 9/11, but that shows that this threat is still there and it's still happening.
That's right. And we started production on this. We started talking about it, really, when we were hearing that things were probably not going to go smoothly in Afghanistan. We started to have talks, and you were like, should we start production or looking to production on a piece that we don't know what the ending is going to be yet because we were watching it start to unfold. Yeah. But we need to document this, and we need to understand mistakes, successes, and what the future looks like. And so we started reaching out to these people, and Congresswoman Gabbard was someone who we wanted to get her insight because she has a very nuanced view that was not necessarily the same as a lot of the other panelists.
Yeah, a lot of them came out with very, you know, traditional. As a documentarian, you have to ask a lot of questions and then dig a little deeper to sometimes get the long answers, because a lot of these people are people you see on the news, on Fox News. They're used to giving a 12-second answer. That's not what I'm interested in. I want the two-minute answer, the three-minute answer. Give me the meat of it. And I'd say a lot of people did great at that. She was one of them that we wanted to reach out to early, as you mentioned, because not only is she nuanced, but technically comes from the other side of the aisle. Again, ran against President Trump, ran for the Democratic nomination. Some of these interviews felt very political. Hers, oddly, did not. Hers was all about military engagement and what led us here and what we can do for the future.
Right. And like you had brought up before, we reached out to her, got a positive response. Like, yes, this is a very important topic. I would love to be a part of it and have my voice as a part of this. And then it kind of just went radio silent for about a month. And it wasn't like something that was like, oh, did we do anything wrong or anything? It was just like, oh, we're just not getting a response about when we can schedule it. Then we see her post on Instagram that she had been deployed,
right,
because she's in the Army Reserves, to Africa on a mission with U.S. Special Forces, and so had to go radio silent because they were combating an Al-Qaeda operation in Africa at the time. So just the ability to have these voices at a time when everything was unfolding and people are still actively fighting is really quite incredible.
And I wanted to show, again, a little bit of both sides of this. We wanted to hear discussion boards. Now, obviously, we invited a lot of people from maybe the other side of the fence that maybe did not say yes to doing this. But you know what? She was brave enough to say yes. We got to give her props for that. I know a lot of people are commenting, I'm not so sure how I feel, because you know she obviously ran against President Trump. We wanted to make sure we had a broad spectrum of people giving a lot of different nuanced answers. And I think that is the future of politics. We even discussed that as well. We're going to keep going. There's a lot more to cover, and there's a lot more content that happened during this documentary series that we've been producing for last month. As Will said, I'm curious, if you're watching on social media, Facebook or YouTube, comment and let me know. So at the beginning of each interview, just for our own internal purposes, I would say where we were. So it'd be, let's say we recorded it on September 20th. I would say it's September 20th and we are here with, you know, whoever guest. Because I wanted not only for our editors and for our team to know, but maybe possibly for you to know where we were as things were unfolding. Because some of these were done very early September, and then some were done up until 3 days ago. Obviously, a lot has changed. So would you like to know that? As we're finishing the edits, maybe you could tell me whether you would like to know when I'm doing these interviews. You obviously know they're not in real time. They're not live. Where we were. So we can do a flashback, show you maybe a montage. Here's where things were when we did this interview. Because so much has changed the last 2 months. So I'm curious. Put that in the comments. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the way we roll this out. I'd love to. That's part of the reason I'm saying go to our website. Go to aclj.org/Taliban to sign up. I want to gauge interest. I want to see how many of you are interested in this extensive long-form series. You're going to learn a lot. It's very entertaining. It's very interesting. I learned a lot. Look, I'm probably like a lot of you listening right now. I always say, you know, my brother and my dad are the legal experts, and I'm one of you. And I'm the one asking the questions, because generally, I'm not the smart one here. I want to hear from the people and the experts. And I do that job by interviewing them and talking to them and discussing this out, asking the important questions that you want to know. So, just curious of that thoughts. But while you're at it, go to aclj.org/Taliban. Sign up to be the first to know when this brand new series from our incredible team at the ACLJ is coming. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.